Again, on your behalf, we welcome to the pulpit here in Sandown this morning our brother Mr. Marco Reale, representing the Protestant Alliance. We welcome him warmly in the Lord's name over to conduct quite a number of meetings at this time. We pray the Lord will richly bless him as he comes now and speaks to us. The Lord bless you, Marco.
To be again in the province. For me, it was good for me to be here with you for the first time. I've never been to Belfast before. Interesting journey. My name is Marco Reale. In England, they make me sound Spanish, Marco Real, or Irish, Marco O'Reilly. So you can choose which way you want me to be. A very interesting list of notices. I plan to come to the 5th of June, so I may join the senior citizens and see the province in a better weather, hopefully. But before we go to the Word of God, let's again have a word of prayer, and we will read from the Second Chronicles chapter 33. After that, the prayer, just a brief prayer to collect our thoughts. Almighty God, we come before thy throne of grace on this morning, and we thank thee for Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Indeed, O Lord, we thank thee that he came to die for us while we were yet sinners, and when we were without strength. There is no work of ours which could possibly meet the requirements of thy divine justice. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. We're saved by grace and by grace alone. And Lord, as we come together around thy word, help us, O Lord, to dispel the worries and concerns of the past week and the worry and concerns of the coming week, however legitimate they may be. May we focus on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And we pray this morning, O Lord, for those who are here, who are not yet saved. May today be the day they will know thee as the Lord and Savior. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, I kindly ask you to open your Bibles in the book of Second Chronicles, chapter 33. We shall read until verse 17. The book of Second Chronicles, chapter 33, to verse 17. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and hues enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God has said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed their own peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I've been asked to give you an address, a testimony, and a report. We'll see how we fare. My name is Marco Reale. I was born in Sicily 52 years ago. I'm very young. 52 years ago, in a Roman Catholic family. My parents were Roman Catholics. Now, I know what you're going to ask me later on about Sicily, but I will tell you later. I didn't choose my parents, honestly. My parents were converted when my father was, when I was 2 years old. My father was a right-wing activist, and my mother was the granddaughter or the godfather. So here we are. You can see the connection there. So I grew up in a Christian family. We didn't have any church connection for some time. And we attended the Valdensian church, the only church in the town. So I grew up in a Presbyterian background. Although I'm a Baptist. Don't punish me for this. I grew up with the Heidelberg Catechism. So I remember that they used the Valdensians have a kind of liturgical order of service. So there's a Heidelberg Catechism is read, and the children are sent to Sunday school, and I walked back from Sunday school. That meant usually that you'd be naughty. And all the congregation were looking at me, but I wasn't naughty in the Sunday school, I promise you. I rebuked my teacher, because my teacher was teaching me about Karl Marx. And I told my teacher, my parents sent me here to learn about Jesus, not about Karl Marx. So you could see the kind of church was rapidly departing from the truth. So they were very political. And I mean political, they were involved with the Communist Party. And so we left. But let's read a bit about the passage, because some of my testimony may come out as an illustration in the passage. Manasseh was 12 years old when he started to reign. He was the son of a good king. And he reigned 55 years. But nothing, they are not told much about his mother, but we are told in verse 2 that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And not just that which was evil, but he wanted to do more than what the others did against the Lord. Like the heathen, there was a rebellion. Manasseh did see what God has done for his father. Did notice the works of God in the life of his father. Didn't know about the blessing of God. But he was utterly alien to them. Now I'm going to address the young people here. Because I'm the son of a pastor, you know. Are you a Christian because you know Christ as your Savior? Or because you think mom and dad are Christian and that suffices, is sufficient? Very important. It's very important because, you see, here we have a young man, 12 years old. He becomes the king of a nation. He has seen the blessings of God in his father's life. And he reigns for a long time. And now he started doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He wanted to be like the other nations. There's a danger there. When we want to be like the others. There was a time when we were told to be ourselves. Now the fashion to do today is to be like the others. 55 years, my friends. 55 years. And what he did do. If you read carefully, come with me down to verse 3. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. He saw your father, his father, as a complete failure. He wanted to be in a good relationship with the other nations, so and with the superpowers of the day, so he decided to worship the same gods. Big temptation. It's a big temptation. We want to be like the others. So what do? We start diluting what we believe. We start adopting what the others believe. We start wanting to be like them. We don't necessarily cast out what we believe. We add to what we believe. And this is what happens here. Hezekiah, he rebuilds the altars. His father had destroyed the altars of his grandfather. Or we can put idols. We can put idols, my friends, in our hearts. We don't need to have statues of Mary here. You will never have them. But you can have other idols. You can have other idols. So rebellion. The Manasseh not only built altars to Baalim, but even there to build an altar to a pagan deity in the very temple. So far, none of them had dared to do so. The bad kings of Judah, yes, they worship idols, but they left the temple. They neglected the temple. They even let it fall into disrepair, but they will not put idols into the temple. But now, with Manasseh, we have idolatry brought into the very temple of God. Why? Because Manasseh wanted to provoke the Lord to anger. We don't know the reasons if he had a problem with his father. But one reason was he was a lost sinner. And he did also different things. You see, my friends, it's very interesting how the Chronicle repeats certain things. He describes, he built the altars in the two courts. He built an image in the house of the Lord. And in verse 6, he calls his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced human sacrifice. Now we wonder sometimes why when we talk about some people tell us, oh, the God of the Old Testament is a cruel God. because he punished the nations. He killed all his people. Why did he kill them in the first place? We need to look into the reason why. I'll give you a little bit of history here, just because sometimes in antiquity they used to have slaves. The only purpose was to produce children to be used as human sacrifice. I will not go into many details for obvious reasons. So you can imagine why the Lord was angry with his nations. You can imagine why the Lord commanded them to be wiped out. Why they were, this wrath was kindled against them. They were killing. And also they were, Manasseh encouraged the use of enchantments, witchcraft, and dealt with familiar spirit and with wizard. And it certainly brought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, from a personal testimony, let me give you another insight. Although I am the great-grandson of the Godfather, didn't choose my parents, honestly. I didn't choose them. I have in my family, all the ladies in my family are witches. They're beautiful women, but they're witches. My grandmother, aunties, aunts, all of them in witchcraft. They used to go to mass in the morning and spend time with practicing the occult in the afternoon. Witchcraft and the mass, they go very well together. They're superstition. And they go very well together. I don't know in Ireland what Roman Catholicism is like in Ireland, but I can tell you about Roman Catholicism in Sicily. Superstition is rampant, widespread, dark. So here we have Manasseh rebelling. Manasseh wanting to cause, not only rebelling himself against the Lord, but also he caused, we are told, the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem to err. There was nothing worse. He was not only happy, he was not happy to just be himself against the Lord. My friends, when we rebel against God or when we sin against God, it does not just affect us. It affects others. It does. It's not true that when we do something wrong, it doesn't affect others. It's only me doing it. No, my friends. Others are watching. Others are looking. Other observings. What kind of example are we as Christians today? What kind of example do we give to our children? What kind of example do we give to our neighbors, our colleagues? You see, there are some applications here. Manasseh was a bad example, and he was a leader, and he was determined to lead the others into sin, to provoke the Lord to anger. He was defiant. I was defiant. I was brought up in a Protestant family. My father was a right-wing activist, basically a terrorist. I told you I didn't choose my parents, so I wish I had a more normal parents. So I looked at my father and I thought he was a failure. You see, he became a Christian. He became a pastor. To me, my father was a failure. He should have kept on. He should have done what he was supposed to do. So I rebelled myself against the Lord. I don't say these things proudly, my friends. Because when you know the truth and you rebel against the Lord, it's a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing to know the truth and to choose to act against it. It is a terrible thing. So here, as Judah was caused, as Manasseh caused his people to to err. So I was happy not to be an embarrassment to my father. And you see, I was brought up in a... My grandfather was a royalist. So the Italian Republic was a terrible thing to us. And we wanted the king back. That's basically what we wanted. And the enemies were the British and the Americans. So guess what the Lord did to me? He used to send to my house British and American missionaries. And they used to keep talking to me about the gospel. And I used to really have not like it. These are the enemies. And the Lord did really do a good work on me, because he sent my enemies to witness to me. Warning. There's a rebellion. You see, we have seen the rebellion. Manasseh is warned, and I was warned. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but we will not hearken. They will not hearken. I will not listen. I will not listen. I was hard and stubborn. I was proud of being Protestant, by the way, because I regarded Catholic religion a terrible thing. I had an uncle who was a bishop. I attended, I'm the only Protestant who went to a Jesuit school. And I enjoyed tearing my uncle apart. I was a good Protestant. I loved tearing apart. I enjoyed doing it, because he was telling me things against my family, and I would defend my family and I'd tear him apart. But I wasn't born again. I wasn't born again at all. I was a good Protestant, but I wasn't born again. Now, are you Protestant because you're born again, or do you call yourself Protestant and you're not born again? Because if you are Protestant and you're not born again, you cannot be a Protestant. Only born again believers can be Protestant. Because if you don't have the truth of the gospel, my friends, you have nothing to protest for. You have nothing to protest against, because you don't know the truth. How do you know how do you know the difference? How do you know error? And this is a warning to all of us, my friends, that the Lord is talking to us. We may be in our hearts, we may not be as bad as Manasseh at this level, but we may be in rebellion against God. We know the truth. We are setting idols in our hearts. We are departing from his ways. We are letting the world dominate our hearts. The Lord is warning through the preaching of God's words, through his ministers, and we do not listen. And we are very proud, are we not, in the flesh? I was very proud. Again, young men, young people, don't take me as an example to follow in these things. I don't usually give my testimony, to be honest. It's only in Ireland when you ask me to give me my testimony. I don't broadcast my testimony very often. So one day I was so... And the Lord had to do something, he had to break me. And so he brought Manasseh. How did he break Manasseh? The Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. My life was miserable. I was a good student, top flying marks, top student, top Protestant student in a Jesuit school. My teacher is a saint now. The Pope beatified him. Here you are. If you have to boast in something, if you were in the flesh, if I were a Roman Catholic, that would be really good. It's not good. So one day, so stubbornly I would not listen to the Lord Almighty, I decided to end my life. It takes more courage that you can think. So I prepared something which was going to look, I'm Sicilian, it has to look like an accident. So I prepared something which will look like an accident. Prepare myself for this execution. Look to heaven and say to God, you cannot stop me. There's no way you can stop me. So try the first time, it didn't work. Check all the things, everything was working. But I'm stubborn. So you're not stopping me. And try the second time. And it didn't work either. And then I realized that I defied the Almighty God. And the Lord broke me. I was in affliction. And I broke down. I besought the Lord for the first time. I prayed as I never prayed before. Seeking His forgiveness. Oh no, I knew I offended Him. And I knew I offended them, knowing the truth. It was easy to say this business, my friends. Because we as believers or children of believers, now I'm talking to the children of believers, we can do that. We know the truth. We have been taught the truth. We have been taught good principles, and we decide that we're going to go against it. I was defeated. You know, Manasseh was defeated because God must be always victorious. Because you cannot defeat God. And so it was through this affliction that the Lord brought Manasseh to his knee, and he's there, he besought the Lord his God. Oh no, my friends, to become a Christian is not just simply accept Jesus as your Savior and you'll be okay, like some people preach. You need to acknowledge that you're sinned against the three times holy God. And sin before God is serious. It's not lightly. It's not taken lightly. And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. I had to humble myself greatly before the God of my father, whom I regarded as a failure. Humbling lesson, my friend. Humbling lesson. But what a great deliverance. Oh, yes. In fact, what is that? Manasseh prayed. Now, when a sinner comes to the saving knowledge of Christ, he prays. And prays more than the sinner prays, if I may say so. He really prays. And entreats. I really besought the Lord. Because I knew I offended them. I knew that I knew the truth. I knew that I knew better. And I sinned in a way. Although I was not born again, I sinned against the light I had. And the Lord is merciful, isn't it? Manasseh was defeated. Manasseh had to somehow surrender to the fact that God is sovereign, and he was a little man. And contrary to what interesting, he was restored to the kingdom. When the Lord did save me, one of the things, interestingly, I had to do was to repair the damage I did. And one of the things, interesting, my greatest desire was to read the scriptures, and I read the scriptures, the Gospel of John, only in one go. You know, no chapters, no verses. And when I went to school one day, my teacher, my RE teacher, was Father Giuseppe Puglisi, was beatified in 2013. he was teaching, was doing a course, and in our lessons came the Reformation. Fancy the interesting thing he did. Marco, you're the only Protestant, so are you, instead of me explaining to the class what you believe, you do it. And I want you especially to explain the 5 points of Calvinism. So I turned to my teacher and said, sir, are you sure you want me to do this? Oh, yes, you got 2 hours. Go ahead. So I will say something which you may not like. Say, Marco, it's fine. As long as you're not vitriolic, say what you say. Say what you ought to say. And that was my first time in which I basically preached to a forced congregation, my classroom, my classmates. And news came to the other priest, who was the secretary to the cardinal. My school was one place, the cathedral in the middle, and the archbishop palace on the other side. So you can imagine the connection there. And here, there it was. I start having problems with the other RE teachers. But see, Manasseh had to repair the damage, because before I would just be a nominal Protestant. I had to go and talk to my uncle, the bishop. In a way, I had to sort of apologize for being nasty to him, because I was nasty. I did say to my uncle, I don't retract any of the things I don't believe about Rome, you know, the things I disagree with. I've not become ecumenical, but I'm very sorry, I've been at times very offensive, and I forgot that you are older than me and that you're also my uncle. So that really did touch my uncle. So there's a witness that from being a nominal Protestant, I was a born-again believer, and I had to witness, but in a certain way, I had to witness that Christ is the only way of salvation. And this is, in a way, my friends, Protestantism, true biblical Protestantism, must point to Christ. And this is the work of the Protestant Alliance. The Protestant Alliance is a non-denominational society. We go around, we maintain 40 martyrs' memorials in England. And at times, you would probably be surprised to learn that because they have historical martyrs' memorials, the police does not stop us. There's a lot of, there are a few problems down in England with street preachers. They get arrested. But because we've been doing martyr memorials for the last 100 and so years, we are a tradition. We are a usual, they say. We usually do it. It's been there for years. But we also aim at every martyr memorial, especially in the open air, to bring the gospel. So we talk about the monument, we talk about the martyrs, and then the question is, why did they die? Now, it's very important we remember our martyrs, the Protestant martyrs, but we must remember, why did they die? They died because of the Savior. They didn't die because they were political heroes. They were men and women who stood up for the truth. And many churches in England today are ashamed of the name Protestant. They are ashamed of the Reformation. They are ashamed of the heritage. Now, the founder of the Protestant Alliance was the Earl of Shaftesbury, and you probably will not, well, interestingly, he voted for the Bill of Emancipation in 1829. He gave Roman Catholics religious freedom. And when we do also agricultural shows throughout England, we go to four shows, and very often we have a display which is very Protestant, and Roman Catholic come around, and they, you're anti-Catholic, you hate Catholics. No, I don't hate Catholics. I don't like the doctrines of Rome, but I don't hate you. Very important. And I say, and we've showed them, we have a bit of a history of their life. Say, this gentleman, the Earl of Shaftesbury, you know about him, very famous in history. He voted for you to have religious freedom. Would you like me to tell you when I was given full religious freedom? Roman Catholics had religious freedom in 1829 with the Bill of Emancipation. Italians, Protestants had full religious freedom in 1982. For many years, I was a second-class citizen. And the Lord has changed all that. So, you see, the Protestant Alliance has a duty to educate. We give lectures, or being historical lectures in midweek meetings. I never give historical lectures on the Lord's Day. And try to make believers understand what it is, what the Protestant heritage is, but always bearing in mind that the testimony is for Christ. Because this nation needs Christ. What do we learn from this passage? I'm going to conclude. I gave you a little bit of the work. I gave you a bit of my testimony. The danger of... how do we see the declension of a society? It's when there is religious pluralism. Manasseh wanted to be like the other nations. The other nations worshipped a variety of gods. And so Manasseh wanted to be like the others. He didn't want God, the God of the Bible, to be special. He has to be like the others. One or the others. And this is the society we live in. We live in a society which tells us that any way to God is as good as another. They want us to, they accuse us of being bigoted, awkward, sectarian. Now, sectarian in England is used also for another, not for the political situation you may have in Ireland. I'm sectarian because I say that Christ is the only way to heaven. So you see, we have to maintain the gospel witness. We'll have to put up with being accused, falsely accused of being sectarian. Because when we have a pluralism of religions, we're not talking here of religious freedom, my friends. We're a democratic society. But when we have a situation where the government tells us that we cannot claim exclusivity in terms of spiritual matters, when the society, they want to tell us that any other way to God is equal to any other, and that Christ is not the only way to heaven, we're in trouble. When there are churches who have left the truth, they keep us telling us that we are too awkward. I'm going to tell you something. At the shows, it's not the Roman Catholics who are the problem to us. I have very interesting conversation with Roman Catholics. It's the liberal Protestants. They come and shout at us that we're wrong, intolerant, and so on and so forth. I'm in the midst of a conversation with a Roman Catholic who's friendly and he wants to know more. So sometimes we have to tell them, please leave our stand, kindly. That somebody else must take them out and sort of talk to them and move them along politely. The danger of religious pluralism we have also when we have the truth. Now here we have this. There's a warning. We could belittle Manasseh. Oh, I pray that you don't do that. Too costly. And also because, why did this happen? Because there's a failure. There's a failure. When we don't tell our children what the Lord has done for us and has done for our churches, when we don't tell the generation lessons from history, I must confess that when I did study some bits of the Reformation in the Jesuit school, coming to England, talking to English people, I knew more than English people. And I studied in a Jesuit school, and I knew more than an English person. So it's very important that we keep the history of the Reformation, the Revival, the Puritans, the history of our forefathers as examples of godliness, of faithfulness. And where errors were made, because we don't have saints in our, we don't have saints in the Roman Catholic sense of the word among our forefathers. We don't worship them. We don't beatify them. We know they were human. Sinners saved by grace, but still sinners. We don't exalt them. So where there are errors to avoid from our forefathers, well, we have to do it. We have to avoid the errors. And now lastly, my friends, the place of prayer. Do we pray? And I mean pray seriously. Because I worked in diplomacy for 15 years. And I heard some prayers in churches, and I gave a definition, the diplomatic prayer. We pray to God, but we don't expect He's going to do anything. That's what a diplomat does. Diplomats, they never commit themselves to anything. They just talk, but never commit themselves to anything. Do you pray a diplomatic prayer? If you're doing that, my friends, you're not praying at all. So I want to encourage you. Learn from Manasseh things to avoid. And be faithful. Do not be content that the days are the day of small things. Do not be content with the things that we are, you know, what we are. Do you love? You see, the Apostle Paul loved his people. And he wanted to reach them. Do you love your people? Because I love my people. I would like to be in Sicily preaching. Do you love your people? On both sides. I'm talking of Irish now. Do you love them? Do you desire them to know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Because this is our ultimate call. And my friends, you and I are watchmen. And one day the Lord will require us. And no excuse. We have no excuse when we keep quiet. We have no excuse when we desert our place. So I want to encourage you, my friends, to keep in prayer, to be active in your church, to pray for the salvation of souls, Protestant, Catholics, whatever, and to pray, please, for all your brothers and sisters who are struggling. Not only, I appreciate that you pray faithfully for your denomination, and indeed you must, but pray for the others. In England, we don't have big churches. The churches are preaching in England are very small. Faithful Protestant churches, some Baptists, some Evangelicals, some whatever. And it's hard for them. So pray for England that the Lord would send us a revival again. That's all. The Lord bless you.